again. Good morning. That's better. Well, at least everyone's paying attention now. That's good. Good. Maybe not everyone yet. Good. Everyone's paying attention now. Very good. Well, I normally like to start. Just give them a few more seconds. It'll be sorted. But I'd like to start my preaching with a question. So on the screen, you're going to see a question while my sound's getting sorted. But the question is, what was the worst day of your life? What was the worst day of your life? We heard some pretty bad stories just now in the video. But what was your worst day? Now, not everyone has a worst day, but for a lot of people, they can just point to one day that was just really bad. Nothing comes close to that. What was the worst day of your life? Might be an interesting conversation starter later over coffee. Just sharing with us the worst day of your life. And not only that, but how did you respond? What was your response? How did you feel? What did you do in response to this worst day of your life? Again, some people say that these really bad situations can bring the best out of people, isn't it? Well, I'm not so sure, and it would be interesting to hear your story. How did you respond to some of these bad situations happening to you? But we're going to look at someone in the Bible and their worst day of their life. A few months ago, I spoke about Job. Now, Job had a pretty rough day, and he lost everything. But today, we're going to look at someone else. And I've got another question for you. This person that we're going to talk about is the second most mentioned person in the Bible. Does anyone know who the second most mentioned person in the Bible is? Now, hopefully we all know number one. That's Jesus, isn't it? Good. Number one's Jesus. But who's the second most talked about person in the Bible? Anyone knows? We've got Abraham. We've got David. Paul, we've got a few things. There's a hear a lot of guessing. Does anyone know? Anyone know who the second most? It is King David. King David is the second most talked about person in the Bible. Now let's talk about some numbers. How many times roughly is King David mentioned? Any numbers? Around 900, eight something, around 900 times. And now Jesus is way over the thousands, so he's definitely the first. But we're going to talk about the worst day of King David's life and how he responded to that. Now, we're going to just give you a quick background to King David, just so we understand his worst day. And King David is someone, again, worth studying. And the Bible talks about him a lot. Again, second most mentioned person in the Bible. Even Jesus is often called the son of David. There's so many interesting things that we can learn from the life of King David, his character, his mistakes, his leadership qualities. There's so much we can learn from him. So just a little bit of background to King David. So David, at a young age, he was anointed to be the king of God's people. And that was to replace King Saul, who was not faithful in his leadership of God's people. And David, after slaying Goliath, he was helping Saul until he got too popular and had to run away from Saul, who was trying to kill him because of jealousy. Now, David was on the run for 12 years from King Saul. And during that time, again, he became quite successful. He got some wealth, he got some followers, and he settled in a city called Ziklag. It's a nice name, I like Ziklag. And so that was David's city. That was his base, doing all his military campaigns. That's where his family lived. And then one day, as when David returned to Ziklag with his men, he found it all burned down to the ground. All his wealth was gone, all his life savings gone. Not only that, his family gone, his sons, daughters, wives. And his followers wanted to kill him because they lost everything too. They were depending on David and he failed them. And so David, he failed as a father, he failed as a husband, as a leader. Everything that he was building, his whole life was gone in a single day. Now, let's read how David felt and how he responded to this worst day of his life. This is from 1 Samuel chapter 30, just a few verses there. It says, when David and his men arrived at the town, they found it burnt. Their wives, sons, and daughters had been kidnapped. David and the troops with him wept loudly until they had no strength left to weep. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. Because of the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. This is the response that David had to this, again, really bad situation. Obviously, so many negative emotions that he had. His response was that David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. That's a good response. This is a good response, and we want to learn from that. How do we face these difficulties in our lives? How can we strengthen ourselves in the Lord? Now, how did the story end? I think you'll have to read your Bible to find out what happened next. Or maybe I'll just give you a quick sneak peek, just to let you know. It says, after this, God just empowered David. He gave him direction and strength to recover all of his wealth, to recover all of his family, and for all his followers as well. Not only that, on this very day, King Saul was killed, and David finally became the king of God's people. And God just completely managed to turn this situation around. As David found his strength in him. It's quite fascinating that this worst day of his life, God managed to completely turn around. Everything was restored, and not only that, he actually managed to reach his destiny that God had for him. So a lot that we can learn from this. But let's not just look at David, let's think about ourselves again. So what does that mean to strengthen ourselves in the Lord? In the New Testament, we read about this in a number of different places. For example, famous verse in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says this, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. It says, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. We are not being told here just to try harder, do better. We are told to stop relying on our own ability, our own strength. It's all about God's power and His strength. And we are told to draw on that, to be strong in Him and in His power, His strength. And I really like how Apostle Paul summarizes what Christian life is about in Galatians. Paul says this to the Galatians. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. As believers, we all have Jesus Christ living in us. And we can draw on His strength, His resources, instead of our own. That is the very essence of what Christian living is about. Not our ability, not our effort, but Christ in us. To strengthen ourselves in the Lord is to recognize His presence in our lives and to draw on His power in us. Again, Paul tells this to the Corinthians. This is 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in earthen containers so that the extraordinary greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. Again, we are told that we are just the containers. We are just the vessels. But we have something special on the inside, a treasure, Jesus Christ. And Christian living is about making it clear that we don't live by our own strength, but by the power of God who lives in us. One more verse from Corinthians. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." There are no superhumans. There are no super Christians. Even Apostle Paul, he was explaining that he had his struggles, his weaknesses, but he understood that he is just the container. He is just the vessel. And especially in these areas of his weakness, God's strength will be so much clearer, so much more evident. It's so much clearer in our weaknesses that it is not our ability, our strength, that it is God in us doing the work. It is God strengthening us, not our own strength. Again, as we draw on the power of God, especially in our weaknesses, people around us will know that it is not just us being amazing, but it is Christ in us. That is what Christian living is about. Not us, but Christ living through us. Now, my most significant encounter that I had with the Lord happened during the summer before my final year at the university. And the Lord spoke to me just crystal clear. Again, it was just a very significant encounter, just crystal clear. The Lord spoke to me and he gave me the direction for my life. He told me my calling for my life. And it was just a very significant moment. Just my life has been altered since that moment. But funnily enough, he also told me all the reasons why he should not call me. Gave me a nice little list of all my different weaknesses and shortcomings. Just explained that he understands that I am not fit to be called into the things that he was calling me to do. And he told me to do certain things and be someone, but I am not fit. Again, he was just very, very specific examples in my life of all the different weaknesses and shortcomings, making it clear that I am not fit. But that's exactly what Christian life is about. It's in our weaknesses, we can demonstrate that it is not us, that it is Christ working in us. That it is in the weak areas of our lives, in our shortcomings, as we draw on his strength and his power, then it's people around us will know, again, it's not us, it is Christ in us. Again, he didn't call me because I'm so amazing. I am to be a vessel so that in my weakness, it would be clear that it is Christ in me. Good. Another verse from Corinthians. This is in 1 Corinthians this time. And Paul says this, "Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful, not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong." Not our strength, his strength working through us. Again, as Christians, we are vessels. And what makes us special is who lives on the inside of us. But I want to talk about us being vessels from another perspective. Paul tells this to Timothy about us being a vessel. So again, it's another verse from 1 Timothy chapter 2. It says, now in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also those of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. So if anyone purifies himself from anything dishonorable, he will be a special instrument set apart, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. There are different kinds of vessels. Again, we are not special, it's Christ in us, but Paul explains that actually there is something that we can do in terms of God working in us. Now, he uses this analogy of there being different materials for the vessels, but I like to think of it in terms of different capacity. That we have different vessels have different capacity. They can contain different things. You can be a little communion cup, or you can be this giant Stanley Cup. Anyone follows ice hockey here? So we go. There's different kinds of vessels with different capacities. Again, the vessels are not special, and they all receive the same strength from the Lord, but the result is different because each vessel can contain different amount of the power of God. Some little bit, some can contain more. So Paul is encouraging us, be such a vessel that you can receive more of God's strength, that you are able to have more of the power of God, that Christ in you may be in every part of your life. Again, we all have Christ in us, but in a different measure. And our goal is to increase that capacity that we have for the power of God in our lives. Again, so part of being strong in the Lord is to increase our capacity for the power of God in our lives. And David, in his famous psalm, talks about how God will fill our cup, even to overflowing. God desires to fill our lives with his power and his goodness. But it doesn't fit properly. There is it's overflowing. God has so much for us that he wants to pour into our lives, into our cup. But it's overflowing. Again, we often don't realize how generous God is. His heart towards us. Our Father is so generous, so good towards us, his children. He wants to give us good things, but we often don't have the capacity to receive from him. God wants to fill us with his strength, his joy, his power, his goodness, his love, but we often can't fit that into our lives. And so we want to increase that capacity for the good things that God has for us. As he fills us, we can receive more from him. Also, like the way that Jesus puts it, as he talks about the different vessels and he explains about the kingdom of God, Jesus said that if you try to put a new wine of the kingdom into old wineskins, they will burst. They're not able to contain what God has for them, the good things of the kingdom. The old wineskins are not able to receive this great power that comes from the kingdom of God. So Jesus encourages us to be the new wineskin. You want to be a vessel that can receive the good things that God has for us. Again, so to be strong in the Lord means to rely on God's power, not our own. And we are to seek to expand our capacity so that God can fill us with more of his power. Now, I've got a few suggestions how we can do this practically. And the first one is fasting. This is generally quite a neglected spiritual discipline, but is a spiritual discipline that is very much associated in the Bible with being strong in the Lord. In fact, Jesus, in his parable of the wineskins, the context of that was he was talking about fasting. He was explaining that explaining why his disciples were not fasting at that time, and he said that after he inaugurates his kingdom, that will be the time for his disciples to then fast, so that they can contain all the great things that the kingdom of God has. And the strongest man in the Bible physically was Samson, and he was doing the Nazarite fast from birth. Another good example is Daniel, who again is just such a nice example of exchanging his natural strength, natural ability, as he was fasting, but with God's power and God's ability. Again, that he was not relying on his own strength, Daniel, but he said, no, I want to rely on God. And he was displaying that reliance on God's power through fasting. Again, fasting is just a beautiful picture of us emptying ourselves of our own strength and instead relying on God's strength. But fasting is not just about this psychological effect that we realize we should be relying on God, not ourselves. There is a real spiritual effect as we fast, and it increases our capacity to receive from God. And there's a real spiritual effect that fasting has on us. Now, do we need to fast? No. Do we need to read the Bible? Do we need to pray? Well, following Christ isn't about what we need to do, but what we can do to be vessels for his glory. Again, do we need to fast? That's the wrong question, isn't it? Again, being Christian isn't about doing the bare minimum so that I can be called Christian. Being Christian is about what can we do so that Christ can fully fill our lives with his power and with his goodness. And that's what being Christian is about. So, do we need to fast? Wrong question. But the right question is, what can I do to access more of God's power? Fasting is one good answer. Yeah, not the only answer, but it's one good answer how we can access more of God in our lives, so we can expand our capacity. Now, since April, I've been going to the gym with Chimeta, and I'm not very good at that, but I've got this very simple idea. Now, I understand that I've got a few different muscle groups, some on the back, some on the chest, some on the arms. And my idea is that as long as I do one or two exercises for each muscle, I should be fine. Now, whenever... So normally what goes on in the gym stays in the gym, but I'm going to use Chimeta as an example now. Now, whenever we get to exercising our shoulders, Chimeta always says, every single time, he says, why are we doing this again? I don't use my shoulders. Now, I'm no biologist, but I was watching him play the guitar earlier. I think he was using a bit of his shoulders. But many of us are not exercising our spiritual shoulders. Again, we're exercising, we have got some spiritual disciplines, but it's important that we exercise every muscle group. Again, and fasting is just another spiritual discipline that helps us to exercise maybe a different part of us. Again, if we're not fasting, we can still be strong, but we'll be missing something. You can have great biceps, but without shoulders, it's hard to use them properly. The whole body should be synchronized. And there are many spiritual disciplines, and we don't just pick one or two of them. We should be doing all of them. Yeah, we need scripture, we need prayer, we need fasting, we need giving, we need serving. There's so many spiritual disciplines, and we should not just be picking one or two. It's important to exercise every spiritual muscle group. Now, some of the earliest Christian documents from about AD 85 record how Christians, as a church, they would be fasting twice a week, Wednesday and Friday. And then Christians for centuries would follow in the same footsteps. And for centuries, this was a normal part of of Christian living, just fasting twice a week. Again, regular fasting should just be a normal part of Christian living. Now, for some reason, fasting is not very common in the Western Church. I don't know why, but that's the reason why I'm especially mentioning it. We're aware of many of the other spiritual disciplines, but fasting we often skip on, just like skipping the shoulders, isn't it? It's not a good idea. Now, if you've never properly done fasting, it can seem a bit scary, a bit strange, but it's not that bad, actually. You just don't eat, that's it. Now, just to give you some example, again, in one season of my life, I was fasting this twice a week. Now I'm fasting once a week with some few extended fasts throughout the year. And this doesn't make me super Christian. This is normal Christian life. Not fasting is abnormal. Again, throughout centuries, for generations, all Christians were fasting once or twice a week. And we're missing a real strength in our spirit. We're missing this capacity to experience God's strength and power in our lives if we're not practicing this spiritual discipline of fasting. Again, fasting doesn't make me especially holy. Again, in fact, I feel like I'm slacking now a little bit, only fasting once a week. Again, fasting is absolutely normal part of Christian living. Again, when I fast, doesn't make me some super Christian, doesn't make me especially holy. It's actually me realizing that I am weak. I need God's strength in my life. And I need to access that. I need so much of God's strength to achieve his plans and purposes that he has for me. So I need to fast. So to access that power of God for myself. I cannot do it in my own strength. And fasting is a way of accessing more of God's strength. Not the only way, but a very good way of accessing the strength that God has for us. The good things that God has for me, I want all of them. I want to expand my cup so that he can fill me with more of himself. Again, if you're not fasting regularly, why don't you seriously consider trying it at least once a month? Just pick a day, set it aside and fast on the day just for at least once a month. Again, it's very simple. It's not very complicated. Doesn't need much explaining. But you should seriously consider including this spiritual discipline as part of your Christian living. Now, there could be more said about fasting, but I want to quickly mention another spiritual discipline that is often neglected and that's specifically associated with strengthening ourselves. Apostle Paul praised this for the believers in Ephesus. This is Ephesians 3, verse 16. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. Here we see that it is through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives that we can be strengthened. Again, not physically, but on the inside of us, in our inner being. It's the Holy Spirit that can strengthen us on the inside. And actually, Paul further mentions that it's specifically by praying in the Spirit where we can increase our spiritual strength or increase our capacity to receive strength from God. Again, this is often very overlooked discipline in Christian lives. But again, this is what Paul tells to the Corinthian church. He says this, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. This is Apostle Paul who just was able to accomplish so much through the power of Christ working in him, had this as just a very important part of his Christian living as his spiritual discipline. It says more than anyone else in the Corinthian church, he was sure that he was praying in the Spirit. And a few verses earlier, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he explains this to the Corinthians. anyone who speaks in tongues edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. Now, to edify yourself means to build yourself up. So in other words, to strengthen yourself. That as we pray in the Spirit, Paul explains this is about strengthening ourselves. Now, also explains that prophecy is about strengthening others, edifying others. But my focus is today, how do we strengthen ourselves like David did? And he says that praying in the Spirit, we are strengthening ourselves. And Jude was the brother of Jesus. He says something similar in his epistle in verse 20. He says this, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." If you want to grow in your faith, if you want your capacity to experience God's power in your life to increase, then praying in the Spirit is a good way of achieving that. If you're not sure what I mean when I say praying in the Spirit, well, it's this distinct spiritual gift that any believer can receive. It's a new prayer language that we're given by the Spirit. And we don't actually understand usually when we pray this in tongues using this prayer language. And I just find it quite funny how it actually works. Why does not eating make me stronger spiritually? Why does speaking in this unknown language that I don't understand can make me stronger spiritually? Well, God, as we read, chooses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, the weak things of the world, because it's not about our ability, it's about God's ability in our lives. And so it's often these strange things, like not eating, that actually God uses to grow us spiritually, or speaking or praying in the Spirit. Now, if you don't have this gift yet, you can simply ask God for it again. Paul explains this is for every believer. He says, "I want every one of you to speak in tongues and also to prophesy to help others. But everyone individually," he says, "I want every one of you to speak in tongues, to pray in the Spirit." Now, some people receive it just on their own, just asking God to receive this gift. But for most people, it actually happens as they pray with someone else, as they pray with others to receive this gift. Again, sometimes when I pray with people, they can receive this gift instantly. Sometimes it can take 15, 20 minutes. Sometimes it can take a few hours even. Again, God does things differently in our lives. But it simply starts by asking God, "I want this gift because I need my capacity for you to increase in my life. I want to build my faith up. I need to be stronger. I want to be the wineskin that can contain the good things that you have for me, the good things of the kingdom of God." Now, we have a prayer meeting this Wednesday. There might be a good place to maybe ask others to pray with you if you want this. And again, as I said, this gift is for everyone. I received it when I was 12 or 13 years, when someone prayed for me. Again, you don't have to be anyone special to receive this gift. Even a child had very little understanding back then. But this is just a gift from God to help us to grow in our faith, to strengthen ourselves. But just having this gift is not enough. That's why I want to mention it today. As I was little, I haven't actually started to use it until much later point in my life. And that's a shame. Again, I've lost so much on what God could have done in my life if I was using this spiritual discipline, this praying in the Spirit. So if you already have this gift, don't forget to regularly practice it. Again, in private, this is for your own edification, not something that should be done publicly, but in private, this is a way of strengthening ourselves, as Paul explains. So, just to conclude, we need to be strong in the Lord so that we may be filled with His power and, like David, overcome the negative circumstances in our lives, but not only that, also to reach our destiny as kings and priests of God. And there's so much that God has for us. And we've got these many different spiritual disciplines, including fasting and praying in the Spirit, that can help to increase our capacity, what God has for us. I wonder if you can stand with me. We're going to ask now for God to strengthen us. Again, that we want to experience more of God's power. Some of you might be facing some difficult circumstances even now. Hopefully today is not the worst day of your life, but you might be still facing some difficult circumstances. And like David, we want to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. So let's pray together. Father, we want to give you praise and thanks because you are so good. You are such a good father. You love to give good gifts to your children. We're so grateful that you have so much peace, so much joy, so much love and power and strength available for us. Just thank you that you want to give so much of yourself to us. And so we just acknowledge your presence in our lives now. We thank you, Jesus, that you are alive in us. And we pray that you would help us to shift our focus from ourselves, from our own strength, own ability, and shift our focus to you, Jesus. Christ in us, the hope of glory. So we pray, may you increase in our lives. May we decrease, but you increase in our lives, Jesus. We want more of you in our lives and your strength, your power working through us. And so we pray, would you help us to know day to day how we do that? Each in our own different circumstances, different stages of life, would you show us how we can practically rely more on you, Jesus, and on your strength? Whether that's through fasting, praying in the Spirit, or something completely different, we pray, would you guide us to the right place? Tell us what can we do to increase our capacity for you, Jesus. We don't want to be just hearers of the word, but help us to put this into practice, to practice these spiritual disciplines, not because we need to, but because we want to. We want to grow in our faith. We want to follow you, Jesus. We want to have all that you have for us. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for your work in our lives, and may you increase. Strengthen us by your power through your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.